Welcome to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. I'm Jason Whitlock. Speak for Yourself presented to you by Hyundai. All right, Marcellus Wiley still not with us, but I've got great news. The stork did come last night. Anna Marie Wiley delivering Olivia Marie Wiley to us. So it's a very happy day for the Marcellus Wiley family. Congratulations, Marcellus and Anna Marie. Congratulations, Olivia. We're glad to have you here. Marcellus will be back with us, I believe, on Monday. But stick around today. We have an absolutely awesome show planned for you. Give me a second. In the second segment, we'll get to Kirk Herbstreit's crazy comments about no NFL, no college football. We'll do that with Mark Slareth in the second segment. But LeVar Arrington's going to join us shortly as we open today's show, where we opened yesterday's show, talking about my belief that the coronavirus will take us to a better place in the sports world. As I told you all yesterday, people love the Whitlock. Lil Wayne asked for the Whitlock to return. It's a little difficult for me to do it from my crib. We don't have a teleprompter. I've got some notes here. There were a couple of things yesterday when I opened the show talking about how I think national pride, patriotism, the true celebration of sports, sports is going to return to its natural role. I left out a few things that I wanted to circle back on because, again, I'm working without a teleprompter. I'm not as precise without the prompter. I like to talk about controversial issues, and that's why I like a teleprompter. I like to write out things. I have some notes here on a couple of things that I just wanted to restate and perhaps I left out, and then I'm going to offer LeVar the opportunity because he called me after the show, and he really wanted to engage me on the subject and ask a few questions. But I think after this pandemic, or this pandemic we're going through with the coronavirus, is causing Americans to be re-educated on the threat of communists and of communism and the dangers of allowing way too much foreign influence over American culture. Of course, the coronavirus started in China. This has provoked, I believe, a lot of conversation about China and our relationship with China, coupled with the fact Daryl Morey and the comments the Houston Rockets general manager made back in October that sparked a lot of controversy in the NBA. You couple the coronavirus with Daryl Morey's comments, and we're starting to have a conversation here in America that is taking us where we needed to be. We can't continue to have all of this foreign influence over American culture, over American sports. China playing a big role in the NBA, a big role with Nike. And it's my contention that a lot of the Nike athletes, in terms of their, I believe, unfair attack on America and a lot of the things they've been saying or trying to position through marketing campaigns, through T-shirts or even television commercials, a lot of that has been about currying favor in China with the communist political party that founded China and is still in control of China. I think a lot what you've heard from LeBron James, what you've seen from Colin Kaepernick, what you've seen from Megan Rapinoe, a lot of that is about Nike and their relationship with China and a propaganda war that's been going on between the United States and China forever. And if you understand how communist parties work, they always try to smear democracies and capitalist countries and America particularly with the race card. We're a racist society. We're repugnantly racist. And again, have we had problems here? Absolutely. There is not a country on the planet that deals with race better than America, though. These issues are everywhere, or they're not as pervasive in countries like China because they don't have our diversity. But anyway, I don't want to go on as long as I did yesterday. I can't believe I went on for 16 minutes. I got a little bit of emotional and heated. I'm going to bring LeVar into the conversation and let LeVar probe me on a couple of things that he thought I wasn't as complete or needed to clarify a bit more so that everybody could totally understand where I was coming from. Let's go out to LeVar's crib. LeVar, welcome to Speak for Yourself from the crib.
Yep.
The floor is yours. What's your question?
Well, I mean, just listening to the conversation and hitting you up about it, I think what I was wanting a little bit more clarity on and listening to your Whitlog yesterday and even what you're stating now is, can you go a little bit deeper into communism and China and how that is playing such a direct role and having such a major influence on American sports culture? Like, what does that mean to us as Americans that are participating or paying attention to sports and American culture?
Look, I think one of the things that we don't understand about communism, and again, we used to understand it because we were hyper-focused on it because we were in a Cold War and we had the Soviet Union as a rival, and people used to understand and be explained this in school, and everybody in the country had an understanding of the dangers of communism. We don't have that anymore. The Soviet Union fell apart in the 1980s. We haven't had a rival. Our focus has been taken off of that. China, run by a communist political party, founded by a communist political party. Let me just explain this about communism. It's hostile towards religion. Very hostile. It was, communism came from Karl Marx, 1800s socialist philosopher from Germany. Karl Marx, go look it up. You don't have to trust me. Thought religion was the soul for soulless people. Thought religion was the opium for the stupid. Thought religion was a bad thing. Karl Marx, a socialist, and who fought for the end of capitalism, wanted the working class to overthrow capitalists and the government, and wanted socialism to lead to communism. Again, you don't have to take my words for it. These are all verifiable facts. And so when you look at America and how secular it has become and is becoming, and again, I don't want to force my beliefs on everybody. I just want everybody to deal with the facts. America, the United States of America, has been founded on Judeo-Christian values. Whether we like it or not, you may not like it, but that those were the values we have been founded on. That had been the pervasive culture of America. We keep getting more and more secular. And we keep the American media companies, Hollywood, the sports world, because we've sold out this country to China and their money and all, their more than a billion population. They have amazing influence in America, including influence over our athletes that go to China every offseason to go make more millions of dollars over in China. And China's such a tightly controlled country. Go look at their reaction to Daryl Morey and his comments on Hong Kong, that the athletes and Nike know that your message needs to be in line with our message if you want to continue to make money over here. And that's why I think so much of the messaging in sports, in the media, and everything is turning more and more secular. Anti-religion. So I just think, particularly for African Americans, we have been so passionately religious here in America. And I don't think we understand when people start talking about communism and socialism, I don't think they understand the hostility towards Christian values, other religious values, the opium of the stupid, the soul for the soulless. Communism at its foundation, hostile to our Judeo-Christian beliefs here in America. So that would be my answer, LeVar.
All right. Now, there was one more thing that really jumped out at me yesterday when you were given the Whitlog was the statement where you said men right now are a luxury, but after the pandemic, after the coronavirus pandemic, men will become a will become a necessity. And I found that to be a pretty interesting statement, and I had some thoughts on it. I'm just wondering, can you expand on that a little bit? Because I had some pushback. Obviously, I had to call you on it. I had a little pushback on it, but first tell me exactly What were you feeling when you made that statement?
Look, I think if anybody watches this show, they know that I believe there is an attack on masculinity. And I believe part of that attack on masculinity is an attack on football, the most American, I mean, most masculine popular sport we have in America. Perhaps prize fighting is more masculine, perhaps UFC, but they don't carry near the sway of football, and they don't touch as many people as football does. Everybody can play football, whether you're tall, short, fat, skinny, fast, slow, strong, weak, whatever. You can be a kicker. Everybody plays football, and it is the most popular, most powerful thing in our popular culture. That's why I think football is under attack, because there is an attack on masculinity. There is a movement to redefine men and masculinity. Some of that, I think, is very healthy. But some of it, I think, has gone too far. And we have made the ideal of the traditional American man, he's a luxury item. And so I think the coronavirus and what it's sparking with us in China, again, this Cold War that could lead to some real conflict. Again, when you get, and we've heard our president say, this coronavirus, we're in a wartime mindset. Well, when you really understand a wartime mindset, that's a time for men. And again, that's not, we have a lot of women in the military. I get it. They're very courageous. I get it. But throughout the history of the world, when it comes to war and the mentality and who actually participates the most, and I'm talking about it, just not in a physical confrontation, but I'm talking about if in this coronavirus, if food, shelter, and safety become a priority, it's a time for men, and it's a time for masculine men, and it's a time for men to be men again the way we used to, be. Now, we can be better. We don't have to do all the stupid, inappropriate things we used to do and used to get away with. We can be proper men, and that's what I think we're headed back towards. We're no longer going to be a luxury item. We're going to be a necessity.
You know, my thought on that statement, the reason why it rang so loudly to me when I heard it, was as a high school football coach, I have been fighting the good fight of trying to convince people and families and young men how important it is to participate in the game of football and even sports in general. And I started thinking about that statement you made, and I was like, wow, you know, this pandemic is going to actually further expose the obsession that we have with technology. And I started thinking, okay, this is a time for men, because men are a luxury, and now they should become a necessity to teach that old school value, that old school way of doing things. You know, I grew up in a home with a man who fought for our country in the Vietnam War. We weren't allowed to have excuses. You had to do things, get out there, rake up leaves, mow the lawn, you know, clean gutters out, you know, things that we pay people to do so much these days. We had to do that as kids. And I start thinking to myself, you know, social media, computers, video game consoles. My biggest concern is it's not going to be a luxury or a necessity. I almost feel as though we're in like a red zone area as an American culture. And in that red zone, this is a third down situation with where our defense needs to get a big stop and have them kick a field goal instead of score a touchdown, because I feel like we're getting further away from family values. How do you grow up as a family, a man in the family, a woman? How does the mom represent the family? Because they're too busy playing video games. They're too busy, you know, being on social media. You know, I watch people when I go out and I see 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes sitting down to eat, and families don't even look at each other anymore. They're too busy looking at their mobile devices. Now, I started thinking to myself, we have to stay in to become healthy again. We're being social distanced from each other. But you know what? Some of these people are not being socially distanced because they've been on their headphones, their headsets, talking to their friends. They've been playing football. I don't have to play football on the field because I can play football on my PS2, my PS4. I can play video games and talk to my friends, Call of Duty, on my computers. I would wonder, and I would ask you this, Whit, in terms of the influence of what that necessity of a man represents and what the family ultimately represents, where do we go? Where does that end up? And how does that apply to sports coming out of this coronavirus pandemic?
I think you've asked an excellent question. The problem we got is we run out of time. I may try to answer it later in the show.
Muscle pain? I'm talking stop in your tracks. I'll never work out again. Oh, my God, what am I going to do kind of pain? This is the kind of pain Dr. Jason Wersland was in when he created Theragun, the deep muscle massager that's unlike anything you've ever felt. Theragun isn't a cheap massager that just tickles your muscles. Our handheld percussive device uses a scientifically calibrated combination of speed, depth, and power to release the deepest muscle tension. It's this simple. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, an injury, or just everyday life, you can use Theragun. Theragun is the preferred muscle recovery device for over 250 professional sports teams and is used by hundreds of thousands of satisfied customers around the world to reduce pain, increase range of motion, and soothe aching muscles. Try Theragun risk-free for 30 days or your money back by going to Theragun.com/cadence. For a limited time, listeners to Speak for Yourself get a free charging stand with the purchase, a $79 value. That's Theragun.com/cadence. That's Theragun.com/cadence. CADENCE.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. I'm Jason Whitlock, coming to you live from Los Angeles from my crib. Hope you're enjoying the quarantine and you're being safe and responsible in your crib. All right, let's go out to Denver. We don't have Mark Slareth by Skype, but we do have him on the phone. And Mark, Kirk Herbstreit made some interesting comments last night on ESPN Radio with Freddie Coleman. I want to read from it directly. Herbstreit said, "I'll be shocked if we have NFL football this fall, if we have college football. I'll be so surprised if that happens just because from what I understand, people that I listen to, you're 12 to 18 months from a coronavirus vaccine. I don't know how you let these guys go into locker rooms and let stadiums be filled up and how you can play ball. I just don't know how you can do it with the optics of it." I'm a huge Kirk Herbstreit fan, Mark. I find these comments inappropriate and poorly timed. What's your reaction?
Yeah, well, I'm a huge Herbie fan as well. He's a friend. And I'm a little bit taken aback, a little bit shocked by these comments based upon, you know, what I've tried to follow. I think one of the problems right now is following COVID-19 is there's so many conflicting reports and there's so much doom and gloom out there. And, you know, there's so many sides to each story. But from what I understand, and I get the practice aspect of it, and I get the lack of spring ball and the lack of some other things that have obviously taken a hit here with this virus. But at that point in time, everybody's on the same timeline. So if you come back to practice in August and, you know, you start getting together and doing those things, like, everybody's on the same timeline. So there's not a competitive disadvantage there at all in my mind. And everything that I've read and everything that I've listened to, I feel like at that point we'll be back up and running. And I think it's important to be able to go out there and compete to do those things. So hopefully that's not the case. And from everything that I've gathered and read and listened to, I don't believe that's going to be the case. I believe we'll be playing football on schedule.
Listen, I think Kirk Herbstreit is one of the best voices in football. I think he's one of the most respected voices in football. I think he's one of the most important voices in football. And that's why I have a problem with these comments. And again, I think the guy is smart. I think he's well-intentioned. I think he's great. I feel like the same things that I just said about Herbstreit are true about me. And I've made mistakes in my media career. So I'm not trying to single Kirk out or act like he's done something just wildly like, oh, you got to fire him or get rid of him. But I do think he's made a mistake here, because when you are all those things, you don't need to be first with the speculation about what's going to happen to football. Your voice carries too much weight. It promotes fear. It promotes problems for your partners in college football and the NFL. And I just don't think those of us with a platform and with a respected voice in sports, how can we jump out here as coronavirus experts when the experts aren't really experts, because this is brand new? This is a new experience for everybody, and the narrative keeps changing hour to hour, day to day, week to week. We can't even fully figure out, have we overreacted? Have we underreacted? What's the truth coming out of China? And this is, again, why I keep saying it started in China. It's a communist country. There's tight control over information. I keep seeing on the news, oh, my God, America's overtaken China in the number of coronavirus cases. How do we know? We're trusting China's information? And so we're just not experts on this. And so why get out ahead of yourself with some wild speculation on something that we're just not qualified to speak on? Love Herb Street. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I'm with you 100%. I absolutely love him. He's a great dude. He is a friend. Here's the deal, though. When people call my local radio show in Denver or text into my local radio show and try to tell me something about playing offensive line and their accountants, what I say to them is, you know what? Why don't you get in your lane, because you don't know what you're talking about because you've never actually played it. Just like I don't come to your office and tell you about the new tax code because I ain't got no idea about the new tax code. So when it comes to coronavirus, man, I'm going to sit back and listen to the experts, and I'm going to try to garner the best I can the information that's presented to me from the experts. But you're 100% right. Like, this is a new thing that we're going through right now as a country, as a world, and I'm going to rely on their expert opinions as much as possible. And the expert opinions to this date have not coincided with what Herbie is saying as far as, the college football season and potentially pro football season being canceled.
Mark, you don't have to go where I'm about to go, but I'm going to give you that. You can pass on it or you can address it however you want to. But again, this, I have worked at both places, ESPN and Fox, so have you. This is my issue with ESPN, and I don't blame the current leadership there. They're trying to fix a problem that wasn't their own creation. But ESPN doesn't know how to properly support football. ESPN doesn't know how to properly celebrate and nurture football while still being credible journalistically. I'm not saying, because again, I'm a journalist at heart. I'm not saying you let the NFL and football get away with everything and you just put on blinders. But there is a way to be supportive of the league and supportive of football without causing the league or being unfair to football. And so I think Kirk Herbstreit loves football. I know he does. But when you sit in that culture at ESPN where there's a hostility to football and where you're not surrounded by people who love football and where, again, where the leadership to me is struggling, trying to get their arms around a problem that wasn't their creation, a bunch of people that, and again, this is where I say Kirk Herbstreit is smart. I know it. But again, when everybody on your network, and there's a bunch of people on your network who have no connection to football, but they keep running them out there and letting them have opinions about football and a bunch of sports they know nothing about, never participated in, never covered in a real way. Again, I've seen people given massive platforms that never covered a team, never been in an NFL locker room as a legitimate journalist. This is what happens, and this is how good people get swept up in that culture and do things that aren't appropriate given their stature, status. And so I would just ask Kirk Herbstreit, as someone who truly respects him and thinks he's good for the game, back off on this. Don't double down on it. Let the experts be experts. Let Roger Goodell and the people running college football, let them be first. Let them tell you what's going to happen to football as it relates to the coronavirus, rather than those of us spouting from our couches at home that really, you know, all our information's coming from TV. We're not experts on this. That would be my advice to Kirk Herbstreit.
Well, I agree with you from the standpoint of we're not experts on this, so let the experts be the experts. I will say this, as a parent and as a son who is a professional pitcher, I want to see baseball come back as soon as possible, but I want to make sure that it is safe for my son to be in that environment. And Kirk Herbstreit has college football players as sons. And so from a parental standpoint, if you're worried about your son's overall well-being and their health, I completely understand that perspective as a parent. And it's one of the reasons there's a lot of parents right now that have been, I believe, misinformed about like Little League football and the dangers of football in general, because there is a, as you well know, there is a faction of people in this country that hate football and would love to see it go away. And, you know, that bothers me about the game, and the game has taken a hit because of that faction of people. But I totally understand it from a parental standpoint. I want to keep my kids as safe as possible. I want to make sure that if they go back to that environment, that they're not going to be, you know, that there aren't going to be any consequences other than the normal consequences of playing football. So that part, from a parent standpoint, I completely understand.
Mark, and this is why I'm glad to have you on the show, because you've raised a hell of a point. And I'm glad you raised it, because the experience you're talking about that Kirk is having with his sons that play, I think, at Clemson. Obviously, your son, a professional baseball player. I'm not a dad. You've raised something that I'm sure factored into what Kirk Herbstreit said during this radio interview. He's just a dad speaking as a dad, and there's some concern there for his kids and his family going to his son's games, and he's thinking about all of that. But only thing I would say, and I'm glad you raised the point, it gives some context and some clarity on what may have been going through Kirk's mind, but when you speak as a dad, don't do it in front of a radio microphone when you're at that level that he's at. He's got to remember when he gets on radio, again, those comments are going to be picked up. Now, if he wants to have these conversations among his family, in private, all that, I get it. But I'm glad you raised those points, because that is something, that's a blind spot for me that I'm sure there's a lot of parents out there like Kirk Herbstreit, like yourself, worried about their kids and making sure they're in a very safe environment. Thank you, Mark. We'll have you back later in the show.
Look around you. It's a wireless world, and everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and that they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. And Raycon's latest model, E25, is their best one yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable and perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls. Raycon was co-founded by Ray J, and celebrities like Snoop Dogg and J.R. Smith are obsessed with the brand. Pick up a pair and see what the hype is all about. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/speak. That's buyraycon.com/speak for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/speak.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. I'm Jason Whitlock. Marcellus Wiley welcomed a new baby last night. He and his wife, Anna Marie, Olivia Marie Wiley. All right, joining me in this segment, LeVar Arrington rejoins the show to talk about Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson and some cryptic tweets he's been sending out, fueling speculation that perhaps the quarterback is dissatisfied in Houston after the Bill O'Brien traded away star wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. Let's read these tweets, and then we'll get LeVar's reaction. Tweet number one, don't deal with the lies and the frauds. That's why I don't get involved. What's up? Tweet number two, never take advice from a person who don't love you. You got to walk light, got to stay above water. All right, so Deshaun Watson unliked the tweet from Tyler Conway from Bleacher Report that started this speculation about maybe he was dissatisfied in Houston, but now he's put out these cryptic tweets. LeVar, is there a problem in Houston with Deshaun Watson?
We got a problem in Houston. We got a problem in Houston. It's definitely a problem in Houston. Come on. You just traded away his star guy, probably one of his close friends. The problem may not be with Houston. The problem may be with the guy who's making the decisions. When Deshaun made that comment, don't trust people that don't have love for you or don't love you. All the things that I've heard about Bill O'Brien, it's been his inability to connect with people on a personal level. And football is a sport where you got to have a level of trust. You got to have a level of admiration and respect and a show of integrity as it applies to your relationships between your players, especially your leaders. I think this is a classic cry out, cryptically, that's open. You could apply it to a mom. You could apply it to a financial advisor. You could apply it to a wife or a best friend. But we're applying this to Bill O'Brien right now. This is going straight at Bill O'Brien. Bill, you have got a message from your star player saying that you show no love and that we don't trust you. So we're going to stay above water until either I'm leaving here or you're leaving here. And that's what I think is going on right now.
Yeah, I think this could be a situation where Deshaun Watson is the only guy in that Texans organization, perhaps other than J.J. Watt, with the leverage to put real pressure on Bill O'Brien and ownership. Like, hey, guys, what are we doing here with Bill O'Brien? And LeVar, I know you know this as a high school football coach and your involvement with so many young high school and young players all over the country. These young kids are different than my generation and even your generation, because a lot of them have been disconnected from a male authority figure, starting with their dad. And so it is important that their football coach, particularly when the football coach puts that kind of demands on you, that you take a Dabo Sweeney type approach with a Deshaun mm-hmm. Watson. Dabo seems very connected to his players and his kids through his Christian love campaign. Mm-hmm. And I think Bill O'Brien trying to apply a Bill Belichick approach without Bill Belichick's success. And then I just think if you're the quarterback from a strategic standpoint, go back to their last game against the Kansas City Chiefs, where Bill Belichick foolishly kicked a field goal instead of going for a touchdown in the first half, not realizing who he was playing against, had the fake punt from deep in his own territory. So just even strategically, you're like, does this coach know what he's doing? Gave up probably way too much for Laremy Tunstall. Now just traded DeAndre Hopkins for a bag of peanuts because he couldn't get along with him. Deshaun Watson is probably putting pressure on the Texans organization. He's the only guy that can do it, maybe other than J.J. Watt. Hey, man, we got a problem here with our head coach.
I seen this take place when I was in Washington. And Coach Spurrier's son, Bubba, had said some stuff. Maybe he said it, maybe he didn't. But the players got a hold of it, and a couple influential players got a hold of it. And it didn't end well. But once the players turn on you, and you best believe there's some stuff going on internally that's being discussed right now as to what O'Brien is doing and why he's doing it, you're out of there. You will be out of there as quickly as you came. You'll be gone because you can't get rid of all of the players. You can get rid of a coach. You can get rid of all the coaches, but you can't get rid of all the players. So if you lose that belief and that support in your players, you've lost your opportunity to be the coach and the leader of that team in particular.
LeVar, let's move to Odell Beckham Jr. We got to be a little bit quicker. Odell, yep. The 49ers basically said they have no interest in trading for Odell Beckham. Junior, last year, they were a key competitor in trying to acquire Odell Beckham Jr. before the Giants traded him to the Cleveland Browns. I'm wondering, having just lost Emmanuel Sanders, the 49ers did, to come out and basically publicly admit they have no interest in Odell Beckham Jr., is this a bad sign of how Odell Beckham is viewed across the National Football League now?
I won't say it's a bad sign, but it certainly isn't a great sign. If you're the guy, if you're that superstar that you became while you were in New York, everybody's going to want you, whether they can afford you, whether it's realistic to get you or not. Everybody's still going to want you. So that is a little bit of an indictment on what people feel about their need for a guy like Odell Beckham. But I don't go all the way down the rabbit hole and say that he's not a wanted guy and still not a super value guy for a team.
I think for teams that are interested in winning and winning right now, Odell Beckham Jr. has very little value. Odell Beckham Jr. is not all in on football. He costs too much money. He's not as great a player as everyone's made him out to be. He's benefited from a league that has gone soft. You got to basically get a police escort for wide receivers off the line of scrimmage these days. He's undersized. He's got a big mouth. He's a bit soft. He makes some spectacular catches, but he doesn't contribute to a winning environment. Everybody knows it. And I really think, again, I go back to what I was talking about yesterday and talking about again today. When we come out of this coronavirus, I think football people and decision makers, they're paying NFL players tons of money. If you can't be all in on football, if you're going to bring all this Mickey Mouse garbage to a franchise, I think teams are going to be more hesitant to get involved with those guys. And Odell Beckham Jr., to me, is example, exhibit A, B, C, and O, B, and J. He is the prime example of a guy
you don't want anywhere near your
football team if you're trying to win a championship. LeVar, I got to let you go. Good visiting you in your crib.
Hey, man, great to see you. Enjoy your weekend.
I'm sure y'all going out. Congratulations. You going out clubbing this week or what? Are you staying
in? Yeah, Club Arrington. You know what I mean? We about to get it started right now. About to get it popping, Whit.
All right. Stick around. Mark Schlereth will be here on the other side. Bruce Arians, no interest in AB. We'll talk about that. Hurts! All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. I'm Jason Whitlock. Marcellus Wiley's off celebrating his new baby girl. All right, let's go back out to Denver and Mark Schlereth, and let's get Mark's reaction to Bruce Arians, Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach, saying that Antonio Brown is not a fit for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Doesn't fit the culture, doesn't fit, and Bruce Arians has experience with AB. I think these are powerful words, considering a lot of people thought Tom Brady wanted AB. Is this a bad sign for AB that perhaps he's going to have a bit more trouble getting back into the NFL than maybe he thought?
Yeah, I think it is, Jason. I think when you look at AB and you just look at his track record in general, if the one place that looks like a potential fit with Tom Brady is not a fit because Bruce Arians said, I'm putting a stamp on it. You're not allowed here. I mean, this is a guy who was with Pittsburgh as the offensive coordinator when they drafted AB in 2010, coached him into being a Pro Bowl player in 2011. And he's saying, you are not a fit on my roster because of all the ancillary things that come with you. You know, there's an old saying in the locker room, when the problems start to outweigh the production, guess what? We don't want you anymore. We'll deal with the problems when the production is there. But when the problems are greater than the production, we're no longer interested in you anymore. And with Bruce Arians says that about AB, that is a telling statement about how the league probably feels about AB, because it felt like the only guy that could control this guy is Tom Brady. The only person on planet Earth that he respects enough to actually act like an adult would be Tom Brady. And if that is no longer the case, then I don't know who's going to pick you up.
Look, I'm rarely right about anything, but I think I said this earlier in the week that, look, and I mean this in all sincerity, Antonio Brown has a child with a woman that I've seen him on tape treat abusively in front of that child and in front of the police. And that, to me, screams, I can't trust this guy with anybody. No matter how much respect he may or may not have for Tom Brady, if you'll do that to the mother of your child publicly, in front of the police, on video that you're shooting, I just don't think this is an untrustworthy individual. That's the mother of your child. The child's the most important creation you'll ever make on this planet. Anybody with a brain knows you got to treat the mother, the other half of that child, with some modicum of respect if you want the child to have success. So I totally agree with Bruce Arians. He's worked with AB. He knows what kind of poison AB is in personal relationships. So I'm actually glad that we're done with AB, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Because I don't even think Tom Brady thinks that much of AB. I just think Tom Brady tries to be positive with everybody. He puts positive energy into the air, and it comes back to him. I believe in that. All right, let's move on to something else. Brady said that his main motivation playing football is just playing football, and it's because he's a competitor, that he basically won't be motivated by trying to get revenge against the New England Patriots for letting go. Mark, do you buy this?
No, that's a lie. I mean, I think the main reason is that he's a competitor. I don't think there's any question. But if you don't think he's motivated by, you know, sticking it to the New England Patriots, then you're crazy. This is a guy that named his production company 199. All right, that happened 20 years ago that he was drafted 199th overall in the sixth round. And it's still a motivating factor for Tom Brady. So, of course, Tom Brady is motivated. You don't become professional anything if you don't have a level of competitive nature that probably borders on the borderlines non-healthy. And certainly he's that way. There's no question about it. Yeah, he's motivated by being the greatest football player in history. Yeah.
Do this, Mark. Put a percentage on it. How much of the motivation is just being a football competitor? How much of the motivation is revenge against the Patriots?
I'm going to say 60% is just being a competitive football player. You're never sated by success. It's one of the most amazing things about Tom Brady. 40% is I want to shove it up your can. And I believe that wholeheartedly because I just know how that operates.
Well, I'm going to say 80% is just, hey, man, this is what I do. I'm Tom Brady. I play football. And when I take the field, I go out there to seek and destroy. I eat what I kill. That's just his mentality. 20% is to prove, or 10% is to prove Bill Belichick wrong, or 15%, 5% is to prove people in the media that doubt him. Guys like me that occasionally like, man, the dude's going to be 43. Can he really do it? But I do think the overwhelming majority of his motivation is just, hey, man, this is what I do. I play football and I kill people. I'm Tom Brady. That's who I am.
Hey, listen.
All right, Mark.
I think it is. I think overwhelmingly it is that, but there's certainly some of that I want to get you.
Mark, we got to go. Uncle Jimmy's waiting on deck. He's at his crib. Can't wait to see what he's wearing. All right, stick around. Uncle Jimmy. Hey! All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the crib. I'm Jason Whitlock. All right, it's time for Uncle Jimmy. Uncle Jimmy couldn't make it to us by Skype today. He's on the phone. Uncle Jimmy, do you have a big dummy of the day? Slareth and LeVar said some really dumb things.
Well, man, I'm going to be honest with you. I hate to do this, man, but I'm going to have to give big dummy of the day to my boy LeVarrington. Whoever dressed that boy today like he was applying for a role on the movie Life, I don't know who the hell did that, but that wasn't right with that striped-ass shirt he had on, man. Come on.
All right, do you have any thoughts on Kirk Herbstreit suggesting that there will be no football this fall?
Yeah. You know, I'm from Kansas City, man. And, you know, I'm from Kansas City. You know, we got a phrase in Kansas City. It's called yada, yada, yada. Matter of fact, Tech N9ne wrote a song about it. See?
Yeah.
I don't really care whether or not y'all, you and Kirk can run your mouth and yada, yada, yada about whether or not they're going to have football or not. Because whether or not they have football or not ain't really important. Here's what's important. When football picks up, guess who the Super Bowl champions is going to be? The Kansas City Chiefs. And the longer y'all take,
that is
guess what they're going to say? We the longest reigning Super Bowl champions, the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay? So if y'all can have a draft if you want to or not. Uncle Jimmy going to have a draft. Because I'm going to be busting heads, taking names right here on this PS4. You can reach me at Uncle Jimmy, SFY. That's where I'm going to be. Okay? I'm reaching out to some of them Twitter stars with them check marks by their names. You know, Snoop, Marcellus's boy, MJD, Miller Genuine Draft. I need some competition. Because, you know, we're going to be here for a while. I don't care whether y'all have football or not. We going to be over here playing Madden busting heads. Now, if they don't have a Madden next year, oh, I got a problem with this. Until then, I'm good.
Oh, so you're going to play Madden video football like you're a little kid. When you going to grow up, man? You're in your 70s and you're still playing video games. All right, let me get my approval rating for Kirk Herbstreit real quick. 79. Not quite GOAT status. I love Kirk. Job performance 23. All-time greatness 17. Character 1920. I don't know what the internet says. Oh, they got him at a dumpster fire. All right, that's it for us. Great week of Speak for Yourself from the Crib. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm about to have a cocktail. See you on Monday.